Chapter 2. On the sixth day, I fought with the curate. I found him eating our food and told him to stop, but he would not. I pushed him and divided the food so there was enough for 10 days. He was angry and sat crying and complaining all day. I hit him when he came near me or tried to take the food, and I slowly realized that he had gone mad. I had strange and terrible dreams myself, sometimes when I was awake, but I would not let myself go mad. On the eighth day, the curate began to shout, "It is God! What have we done? It must stop!" Then he slept. But when he woke up, he shouted again. "Be quiet," I said. "I have been quiet too long," he shouted. "Shut up, man," I cried. I jumped up and I saw the meat knife hanging on the wall. I took it and I chased after him. I turned the knife and hit him on the head with the handle. He fell to the floor and did not move. I stood over him, breathing heavily. Was he dead? Suddenly, I heard a noise. I looked up and saw the tentacle of a machine come through the opening in the wall. Behind it was the huge face of a Martian. I turned and ran. I opened a door and went through. Had the Martian seen me? I pulled the door shut and tried to stop the sound of my breathing. I heard the tentacle on the other side of the wall. Then I heard the sound of the curate's body being dragged across the floor to the opening. I didn't move. From time to time, I heard the metal tentacle in the kitchen. Once it touched the door. Did the Martians understand doors? The door opened. The tentacle reached inside. It took a piece of wood. It closed the door. I couldn't breathe. Had it gone? I waited for many minutes before deciding it had, but I couldn't come out of that room. I stayed still and silent, without food or water, for the rest of the day. On the 11th day, I came out of my hiding place into the kitchen. I had nothing to eat or drink. I was weak and tired. When I slept, I had nightmares. I dreamt of the curate and the Martians injecting blood, or I dreamt of wonderful food and drink. On the 12th day, I found a little dirty water, which I drank. On the 14th day, I noticed red weeds growing across the hole in the wall. On the 15th day, I heard a strange familiar sound. When I opened my eyes, I saw a dog, and he barked when he smelt me. I could kill him, I thought. I should kill him and eat him. I moved towards the dog, but it ran away quickly. Then I realized that the noise of the Martians had stopped. I looked out of the opening in the wall. There were dead bodies and human skeletons all around, but all the machines had gone. There were no Martians anywhere. This was my chance to escape. I pushed myself through the hole and climbed to the top of the hill. The trees were dead, but the red weed was growing all over them. All the buildings were destroyed, but there were no Martians anywhere. The sky was bright blue, and the air was clean. I was hungry. I saw a garden and ran towards it. There, I found onions and carrots and ate them quickly. The red weed was everywhere, but as I ran looking for more food and water, I noticed the weed was dying. It could not fight the viruses of Earth. When I came to the river, I drank the water. Some of the houses were burnt, but some looked perfect. There was no food in any of them. I found a dead cat in one, and I tried to find some meat on it, but there was none. I saw no people and no Martians. I began to think I was the last man alive. That night, I arrived in London, and I broke into a hotel. There were only a few biscuits in the place, but I slept in a bed, and I began to think clearly. My thoughts turned to my wife. What had happened to her? Maybe it was best if a Martian had killed her with his heat ray. In the morning, I felt lonely, and I wanted to find my wife. I continued walking along the empty streets towards London, and I noticed a man under a bush. He stood up and came towards me holding a knife. He was dirty and wet, and there was blood on his face, so I didn't recognize him immediately. "You can't stay here," he said. "I'm here, and there is only enough food for one." "I don't want to stay," I replied. "I'm going to Leatherhead to find my wife. I've been trapped in a house for 2 weeks, and I don't know what's happened." "You!" the soldier pointed. "You're the man from Woking. You weren't killed there." "And you're the soldier who came into my garden," I replied. "What luck!" he cried, and he shook my hand. "The Martians have gone past London now. You can see their lights at night, but not during the day. Let's hide under here." He crawled under a bush. "We can't win," said the soldier. "They keep coming. There were 10 cylinders. I haven't seen any more, but they must be landing somewhere. We don't stand a chance." I agreed with the soldier, but then I remembered. On the night in the observatory with Ogilvy, we had counted 10 flashes leaving Mars. There were no more cylinders. "But they might have fired more since then," said the soldier when I explained. That was something I hadn't thought of. "What do you think they'll do with us?" "I don't know," said the soldier. "I think they want us for food. They haven't started yet. They'll destroy our guns and warships. They'll make their machines, and then they'll start on the people. They'll choose the best ones and keep us until they're hungry, then feed on our blood. Trying to escape isn't going to help us." "Then why should we live anymore?" I asked him, surprised. "I'm not giving up," he said, "and I don't think you are either. We need to look at them and learn." "Tell me more," I said.